This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
My son and my daughter all the times when Liverpool win in the last minutes ask me, oh, how lucky they are. And I said the time is not lucky. So what Liverpool has done the last season and this season many, many times because they have this incredible quality and this incredible talent to fight until the end. That's why I said to my players and not just my son and my daughter, so that is not lucky. It happened once or twice in the life, so okay, yes, but happened maybe 10 or 12, 13. But there is sometimes in 94, like it was a Leicester game, like it was a penalty, was wow, like this, like that. So that was the intention for my comment, but far away from my intention to say that Sadio Mane is this type of players, because I admire him a lot. Because even with that, Jurgen, is for him is penalty, for the referee was penalty, for VAR is penalty. When I was wrong, the guy, or maybe not, I don't know, I was the wrong the guy to think maybe it was like this, the penalty. But of course, like Jurgen said, so he knows Sadio Mane better than me, and of course I have an incredible respect. I think the message from Jurgen always in the football, I try to be like this away, it's always positive, it's always attractive and be at it. And of course, when he says he's not like this, he's not like this.
On the ball on BFM 89.9.
So there you go, conclusive proof that Mane does not dive, according to Pep Guardiola. Welcome to the Friday show. This is On the Ball with me, Ross, and in the studio with me, we've got Bob Holmes.
Hi, everybody.
Hello, Bob. Keshika's back.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, Keshika. And Roshan.
Hi, good evening, Ross. My name is Roshan. I'm from PJ. Can I request for a... wrong station. We're here to talk about football, isn't it?
Good evening.
Good evening. Ajax was robbed.
That's what I want to say. Ajax was robbed. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Follow us on Facebook and on Instagram. It's BFM Football. Let's start then with Champions League football. Liverpool 2, Genk 1 from Group E. Liverpool are almost there.
It was a good game of football.
It was a good game of football.
And Genk represented themselves very well.
Yeah, I thought so too.
I honestly thought it was going to be a pushover. It was going to be one of those 5-1s sort of game. But Genk showed that Liverpool can be got at. And it was a decent squad from Liverpool, if not their first 11.
Well, Jurgen Klopp rested Jordan Henderson, Sadio Mane, Roberto Firmino and Andy Robertson. So obviously one eye on Man City at the weekend. But still, strong enough to beat Genk, and they're synonymous with European trophies, aren't they, Bob?
That's good. You're talking to a Nottingham Forest fan.
Synonymous is the word. six times? Yeah. I mean, it was job done, wasn't it? Genk are no mugs. They are Belgian champions. And now we know the Belgian are one of the best sides in the world.
They're better than Genk.
Even though most of their players play outside Belgium. But still, Genk are no mugs. And they didn't go quietly. Liverpool had to work at it. But I think they'd be satisfied. There were no injuries, apart from a little knock for Oxlade-Chamberlain. But what a big plus is Oxlade-Chamberlain to come back from that horrendous injury. You know, we said it last week. But he's getting better with each game he plays, and he is exactly what they need.
Actually, Bob,
really,
I disagree with you.
Bursting through from midfield like that, tremendous player.
I disagree with you. He's far better than what he was when he first signed for Liverpool. He's not coming back gradually. He has come back
from injury.
No, he's even better than he was before injury. Did you remember the first few times he was at Liverpool? He lost his first game against Arsenal. Was it 3-0? Was it 4-0? It took some time for him to build up form.
Yes, I know. I'm talking about injury here. He had a horrendous injury and he's coming back from it. I completely agree with you. That's all I'm saying.
And what I'm trying to say is he was far better than what he is.
You're
even
arguing
before.
For the sake of arguing.
I'm not arguing for the sake of arguing. You're not listening to me because you're sticking to your points but not listening to me. It's a massive difference, my friend.
I'd say it's the reverse.
Right.
Anyway, that's a good start.
We're not having any more bevvies before show anymore.
What nonsense.
28 shots on goal from Liverpool. 72% possession. But you'd expect that from Jurgen Klopp's Reds.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what's wrong with the performance? I mean, they get through. You're nitpicking if you can find fault in Liverpool's performance there. I mean, it wasn't perfect. Mm. No, But I mean, how many games now is it they've won in a row?
Agreed.
Are European champions? What more do you want?
I don't think they know how to lose, Bob.
Well,
you know, Ross, you won't like what I'm about to say, and Keshika's wearing the United jersey. This reminds me of when United was in their prime. Games lost, like the Villa game, you would never think in your life they were going to win it.
Yep.
And boom, it happened. The game against Villa when Robertson scored.
Yep.
And then he just came back and he was just marauding everyone forward. It reminds you of United in the past.
Yep, I agree. I think Liverpool is on that run right now. And yeah, you can't find any fault with their performance against Genk.
And how much of that is down to Jurgen Klopp?
Everything.
I mean, they've got this. He coined the phrase, didn't he? Mentality monsters.
Yeah.
I mean, that didn't come from the top of his head. I mean, that's a carefully chosen phrase. And by doing this, just as United did, you're absolutely right in saying that under Fergie, you build this momentum, you build this reputation. And there's a certain inevitability about it.
Yep.
And you can see it in the opposition. Mm. There's a fatalism about the opposition.
Yes.
And you could see that. Once Liverpool had equalised against Villa, you could see Villa were caving in.
Agreed.
And the press conference, the way he held the Divock Origi topic, it is true. The man was a massive role, or played a massive role in the defeat against, you know, Barcelona when they turned it around. And against this game, he's called him a Liverpool legend. Everyone laughed. But guess what? If I had told you, or if anybody had told you that Divock Origi was going to be in the Champions League a winner 4 years ago, would you have believed me?
But Divock Origi is young enough to play first team football week in, week out with a club. He's chosen to. Well, it's a bit part.
Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was good enough to play week in and week out, but he stayed at a club.
Good point.
Fair enough.
All right, Liverpool are 1 point clear of Napoli on top of Group E. Liverpool play Napoli in the next round of matches.
Come on, Napoli.
That's going to go a long way to decide who is going to finish top of Group E. In Chelsea's group, Group H, it was Chelsea 4, Ajax of Amsterdam 4. Ajax were 4-1 up in this tie. What happened, Kashika?
I feel like Chelsea players, they have a young squad, and under Lampard, they're willing to fight for it. It's mentality. It comes down to that, I feel, especially in this particular match. Because usually in a football team, when you're 4-0 down, you wouldn't imagine that you can come back up and get a draw like this.
Yeah, but two red cards do help.
Come on. Yeah. Bob, are you going to say it, or do you want me to say it?
They were being torn apart, weren't they, by Ajax. And the thing, let's talk about Ajax. I mean, they sold their two best players.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't look any different, do they? I mean, it's amazing the production line they have there. They can just carry on.
Well,
and this Zeke, he's amazing, isn't he?
He is.
He's got a 35 million release clause.
And guess what?
You know?
Arsenal don't want to sign him at the start of the season. And you look at them like, what?
Well, the Ajax manager distanced himself from the Bayern Munich job this week, didn't he, Eric?
Why would you want to go?
Well, yeah, true.
He's got a, I mean, just building on what Bob said, when you looked at that game against Chelsea, they outplayed them. Fair enough. Okay, you know what? I know I have a lot of friends who are Chelsea fans, but let's be honest. The referee saved you. You want to talk about the goal that was not allowed at the end for Chelsea? Fair enough. Those two red cards, were they? I mean, the two cards that build up to red.
Yeah.
They were the original. The first foul
was soft, but
it was a Chelsea player who made the initial foul, which was not called for. And then Bob and I will agree on this, no matter how much we disagree on a lot of things. What the heck is VAR looking at?
Yeah.
Reruns of Clint Eastwood, Good, Bad and the Ugly?
Yeah, well,
are they watching
ugly,
the same game?
Yeah, I mean, they changed the rule. I mean, actually, I don't blame the referee that much. It's the rule. I mean, the handball.
The handball rule's ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's virtually impossible for the referee not to give it now if it hits the hand, no matter what the circumstances. And that's what cost them. The sendings off, the arguing, we weren't privy to those conversations. And I don't know where the VAR was even, but there was no argument from VAR. There was no delay even. They were just sent off, weren't they?
Yeah.
But you go back and look at the incident. That's the point of having VAR, correct me if I'm wrong, to give the referee another eye at the problem with multiple camera angles. And then all of a sudden, a team that should have won the game was pegged back 4-4. And you have to give Ajax credit. They played for a good 20-plus minutes or so with eight players.
Yeah.
And they still held on. You have to have respect for that team and those players. There is something there with this team that is unbelievable. And unfortunately for them, as Bob has mentioned, their two best players left. Ziyech will be the next one to go.
Well, Group H is very tight. Chelsea, Ajax and Valencia are all on 7 points. Valencia beat Lille 4-1 on the same night. So it's Valencia versus Chelsea. Next round of matches. And it's Lille against Ajax as well.
The three of them on 7 points.
All three on seven. So very exciting. In Group B, Red Star Belgrade 0, Tottenham Hotspur 4. Son Heung-min scored a brace. Didn't celebrate the first one.
No, he's still cut up about the Gomez incident, which he should not be.
Well, Gomez put out a message thanking everyone for all the...
Yeah, I mean, it was very unfortunate. But on the positive side, Marco Silva is saying there's a chance of Gomez playing this season even.
Yeah.
Have you seen the photo of his ankle?
Yeah.
That's.
You seen the replay? His ankle was pointing in the wrong direction.
But I mean, Son didn't cause that, did he?
No.
I mean, he actually tripped.
And the
card
has been rescinded.
The red card's been rescinded. So, which is also good news. But Spurs, Champions League, are they going to make it through?
I mean, they're second. But they'll definitely make it.
Yeah.
Well, they should make it.
Bayern Munich have already qualified. Despite having no manager, they beat Olympiakos 2-0.
I think that was all set up, you know.
Well, Lewandowski scoring every game.
And then all of a sudden, Bayern Munich... If you actually watch this team, I'm not saying this because I'm a Dortmund fan, but if you watch Bayern Munich, whenever there's a bit of, you know, there's a bit of uncertainty with the manager, Carlo Ancelotti, i.e. now this man, all of a sudden, they form dips. And then wow, lo and behold, the new man comes in and they go back to their winning ways. You want to talk about hypocrisy when a lot of people say, oh, the Premier League is now filled with player power. Bayern Munich has been that for years, but nobody will address it because no one has the guts.
No, it's management power in Bayern, that Rummenigge and Hoeneß and they hold all.
Right. Yeah, I mean, in England, there's always a criticism of the fact that we don't use experienced international players in high positions. We tend to waste them. In Germany, I think, and with Bayern Munich anyway, they seem to use too many. I mean, really. The manager has no chance, does he? You know, with that, what would you call it, a hierarchy of dictators there from a previous generation. And they are quite ruthless, and it doesn't matter even if they go to jail. They've still got the power.
And they got the job back. I know.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Well, he was still doing the job when he was in jail.
Tottenham versus Olympiakos. Red Star versus Bayern Munich. Next round of matches. Spurs need 1 point to guarantee the knockout stages. In Group C, Atalanta 1, Man City 1. Defender Kyle Walker ended up playing in goal. which was nice to see, and I liked how he took a couple of touches as well to save a shot.
If the player had been any closer, you wouldn't be talking like this.
No, true.
You know,
he
would have tapped it in, and it would have been an embarrassment. But okay, all credit to him for coming on. Fine.
Brave,
but,
right?
Yeah, brave.
No, but he's
brave.
Been a leader. Have you noticed ever since Vonson Company left, he shaved his hair off, and he's tried to be Vonson Company.
No, I also feel like because of that personality trait, that's why he could step up and go into goal. Because to be a keeper, you have to be commanding. You have to have those leadership qualities. So I think that was a perfect situation.
Yeah. And you know what? If you watch those highlights, in my humble and correct opinion, Kyle Walker is a far better goalkeeper than Claudio Bravo.
Well, he actually made more saves than Bravo and Edison.
But that decision for him to come flying out... It was a dive. Once again, he should not have been sent off.
Yeah, I agree.
This is where VAR comes in. The guy stuck his leg out. He's intentionally put his foot on the goalkeeper. He gets sent off. Right? It was a rash challenge, but it was a decision waiting for VAR to come in and sort everything out. What? I cannot understand this thing. It's there. Anybody could see it. Everyone saw it. And yet, a decision wasn't made by VAR.
It does seem as if they don't want to make the referees look idiots.
Well said, Bob.
I think that's the basic problem, isn't it?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, there's a matey thing going on there between the guys in the studio or the whatever you want to call it and the guys on the field. They often swap positions, don't we, as we saw in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that's Champions League. We'll talk about Europa League later. We're going for our first break now.
Aren't we going to talk about Dortmund?
No. We're rapidly running out of time. We'll be back with the EPL preview next.
Worth a try. And he's always prepared to give it a go.
On the ball on BFM 89.9.
Deserved a goal, that. Love the return pass. Just wide.
On the ball on BFM 89.9.
Hey, thanks for sticking with us, Roshan, Kashika and Bob in the studio. Just before we leave off Champions League, we need to mention Rodrigo's hat-trick for Real Madrid. Oof. What, the kid's
he's
a star.
Slick. He's
the complete opposite of Matt Hummels, who needs to retire. I know you never talk ill about your own players, but you know Matt Hummels at Dortmund right now reminds me of Rio Ferdinand when he went to QPR. That's how bad.
But slower.
No, worse. At least Rio, you know, Rio could still get it done. But Rodrigo, whew.
Yeah, superstar that one. Perfect hat-trick, left foot, right foot header. Right, let's look forward to the weekend's EPL. There is a Friday night match. It pits the bottom two together. 19th place Norwich take on bottom side Watford. Winless, fairly hopeless.
Carry on, Ross. It's a Friday, Ross.
Well,
keep it going.
That's how you describe Watford, right?
Yeah. Are you encouraging people to get up at 4 in the morning to watch this?
Do you know what? If I'm awake, I'd watch this.
Wow.
For sure I'd watch this.
I don't think it'll be the record for viewing figures on a Friday night.
So I reckon Norwich will win this one.
Well, that's not a big shout, is it?
No. No. I don't have big shouts.
No.
Okay, I think we are. It's still early on. If Watford are in 20th, they're rock bottom on 5 points, but Crystal Palace in 9th are just 10 points ahead of them.
Yeah,
which means knowing Watford, it could go both ways. But there is enough and more time for turnaround. Technically, there's three wins.
Agreed.
And you know things could happen throughout the year.
Yeah.
December's coming along.
It's a quarter of the way through. We've seen teams escape before. Do we think Watford have enough in them, though?
Surely.
I don't think so. Because last season, they struggled as well.
Yeah.
So they can't be consistent. They always struggle. I think this time is it.
Kiki Sanchez-Flores has come in and he's made them more solid at the back. The thing is, they don't score goals now.
Yeah, he did a good job when he was there before, and I don't think he should have been sacked, actually.
No.
And I think they
don't think the last manager should have been sacked either.
No. In fact, he'll probably come back
after. He'll probably come back after, yeah.
But I think they're a little bit too... they might only be 10 points behind Crystal Palace, but... there's a bit of a dogfight down there, and I think the other teams, the other predictable relegation candidates, have got far more about them than Watford have, mainly firepower. And I think that somehow I would say Watford are favourites to go down. I think Norwich may struggle to survive themselves, but I would say Norwich have probably got the edge in this one.
Okay. Well, Watford are currently enduring a club top flight record of 15 games without victory. Failed to win any of their opening 11 league fixtures for the first time. For me, they're already doomed.
Wow. You never know. They could bring someone in January.
They can't get rid of Kiki Sanchez-Flores.
No, not the
surely.
Manager. I'm talking about players up front.
Okay. Yeah.
Norwich is the complete opposite of Watford. I mean, if Watford can't score...
They've had injury problems. Yeah. But the good news is Troy Deeney could be available tonight for the Norwich game. And they really need Troy Deeney.
And Norwich can't defend.
What
was it? Like, they've conceded 2 goals in the past like 8 or 9 games or something like that
for
Norwich?
And Pukki's gone cold.
Yeah, Pookie going cold is a very horrible thing.
Yeah, you need
a cold Pookie is a very
you need Pookie hot.
You need Pookie on fire.
Right, on fire. Wet. Hot.
What?
Hot. It's a 4 a.m. kickoff, that one. Norwich against Watford. Crystal Palace are away at fourth place Chelsea. Rosen was saying, Palace are ninth at the moment, which in itself is quite an achievement because they don't score goals.
You look at those teams from, I mean, I can't believe Everton is in that little group from ninth all the way to the bottom. But anything could happen. And that's the funniest thing. Everyone keeps focusing about the Premier League or the top five or the top six. But nobody has actually taken time to look at these teams from Crystal Palace in this current, where the table, where they lie right now. How unstable the league is. Any team can go up and down. I mean, we'll talk about Wolves a bit later on. They're winning in the Europa League. Yep. But in the Premier League, it's everything. United can win in the Europa League, but cannot win in the Premier League. Mm-hmm. It's topsy-turvy. And this is the best thing about the Premier League and how uncertain it is. Once you get past the top six, anything and everything could happen depending on what happens on the day itself.
But Chelsea under Frank Lampard going into this weekend, currently fourth. He's been superb.
Yeah. I mean, he could have taken a knock in midweek. Yeah. I think if when it was 4-1 to
should
Ajax.
Should have been a loss, really.
It should have been. It could have been 6-1, and we'd be talking a bit differently now. But that didn't happen, and he has done, a brilliant job in blending the youngsters and all that. And they're, I think they are pretty good bets for a top-four place. I don't think we talk about top six anymore. Not this season. Mm. I mean, look who's in the top six. Mm. Sheffield United.
Yeah.
I mean, United are 10th. Manchester United are 10th. Spurs are 11th. Wolves are 12th. Where's the top six?
But the difference with Chelsea and the team they have right now, it's a team that has played your Tammy Abrahams at Swansea's. Yeah. They've had a run out at a decent club.
That's the difference between the Chelsea youngsters and the Man United youngsters.
I completely agree. Yeah, if nobody can take that into consideration, you don't know what football is. There's a massive difference. Tammy Abraham at Swansea was a lot of clubs in Europe were looking at him.
And Villa as well.
Yeah. And guess what? He's doing it right now. Mm. Mason Mounts. And credit to Frank Lampard. He's walked into the job. And he was smart. He knew that these players had enough and more time on the pitch. And from a coaching point of view, and you will know this firsthand, the more time they have on the field, the better they get.
Yeah, because the competition is a bit different than your training ground. You might be brilliant at training, but when you play a match, that's when you know whether you can handle the pressure, different circumstances that occur on the pitch. So that's the main difference, I feel like, the youngsters with United and Chelsea.
Mm. The way Frank is running Chelsea at the moment, though, you feel for the old boys, the Pedros and et cetera.
They've had their time. Yeah. A little bit, but I think he's got the balance pretty right. And, you know, they're appealing this transfer ban.
Yeah.
And if they're successful, they'll have money to spend in January. And he says that he will go out and spend it. He's not going to stick to this formula.
But then this formula is working so well. You're actually bringing through England stars. We've seen Hudson-Odoi being called up to the England squad. And that's because of Frank Lampard and Chelsea. Would you want to mess that up? Well, I think it'd be good if the transfer ban remains.
The fans are supposed to be split on this, actually. And, I mean, I would ask this. If it hadn't have been for the transfer ban, would they have offered Frank Lampard the job?
No, probably not.
No. Yeah. I think they would have gone for some experienced continental manager.
Allegri or someone.
Nobody gives Jody Morris any credit. He is a big part of Frank Lampard's success. Yeah. Everyone keeps talking about Frank Lampard, but Jody Morris is the guy, if you watch him in the touchdown or in the training grounds, he is getting the job done behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And for me, I think he's got a bigger say in that team with the players as compared to Frank Lampard, because Frank Lampard at the end of the day maybe would be your Carlo Ancelotti with your Paul Clement situation, mm-hmm. where Paul Clement was the man that was making things happen in the dressing room, in the training park. I think Jody Morris is that. It's just a very different version right now, what we're seeing on TV.
Michy Batshuayi is a player that Chelsea, can't give game time to, and Crystal Palace really, really want. I understand they're going to try and make a January move for him. He scored 5 in 8 starts on loan there last season.
I think he's a bit of an Origi.
I agree with Ross.
He doesn't seem to do it much when he starts. He's a good guy to bring on. And you mentioned him earlier, Solskjaer, probably the supreme super sub. And certain players just lend themselves to that role. Mm. They're not actually top of the tree, but they can come on and make an impact. Origi is the perfect example of that. Solskjaer was. of a previous generation. David Fairclough, for older listeners, for Liverpool, super sub he was.
Ginger.
and I think Batshuayi is in that category.
But when you, I mean, once again, not being a Dortmund fan, but when he was at Dortmund and then he went to Valencia after that, he was decent.
Yep.
He was good when he starts. Yep. He can fit a system if you play to his strengths. But the problem with Chelsea, maybe Frank knows that Tammy Abraham is his number one pick, but I can give you my word, I would rate Batshuayi ahead of Divock Origi any day of the week.
He's also ahead of Benteke.
Yes, without a shadow of a doubt.
Absolutely.
For me, I told this last week, and I'll say it again, he is a player that needs to realise his time at Chelsea is done. His loyalty is not being rewarded whatsoever in terms of playing time. He's got to look at another club soon.
I think Giroud also feels like that.
Giroud, he should have gone, bro.
All right, Chelsea versus Crystal Palace is the early Saturday kickoff. That one is 8:30 p.m., fourth place, ninth. We're going for another wee short break. Back right after this.
What about that clearance off the line? How important did that turn out to be in the end?
On the ball on BFM 89.9.
It is a fine goal. Fine header, fine goal.
On the ball on BFM 89.9.
Hey, thanks for sticking with us. Kashika, Bob and Roshan in the studio. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Follow us on social media. It's BFM Football on Facebook and on Instagram. Spurs in 11th take on Sheffield United, who are 6th. They were my tip to go down at the start of the season. I'm sure everybody as well thought that. But interesting fact here, Mauricio Pochettino, Spurs manager, has not picked an unchanged 11 for 93 consecutive matches. Talk about tinkering.
He's, I think of all the managers, he's probably had the biggest excuse for not doing so. Hmm. I mean, when you look at it, and he's not done too badly, has he?
No.
He got them to the Champions League final. He's had them in the Champions League for the last 3 years, final stages, almost there again this year. It's just the problem in the league. And I think that win in midweek, even though it was a fairly easy game, it was just what Spurs needed.
Yep.
After the trauma of the Everton game with Son and all that, comfortable ride against Red Star, a weak team. Don't know what's happened to Yugoslav football, Serbian football, I should say now. But Belgrade teams used to be strong. Look at Partizan. They got thrashed. Red Star also got thrashed. So Spurs, I think that was ideal for them. And they discovered that this loan signing, Giovanni Lo Celso, isn't a bad player.
No. Scored on his first full appearance.
His impact has been delayed by injury and a late start to the season. But this guy can play, and they've got an option on him for $55 million sign it at the end of the season, or January even.
Even Ndombele looks a decent player.
Well, he looked okay. He looked
He's
okay from the start.
He's still finding his feet, let's not forget.
And he played a massive role in the goal as
Absolutely.
Well. The way he ran past, and he shrugged off the defender. Yeah. The opposition player. And he just made it look so easy. He looks very, very natural. And the way he's adapted to the Premier League is fantastic. He looks like he is the part. And going back to Pochettino, we've been saying this for close to a year and a half. The things this man has done without any players for such a long time, yes, he's been able to bring a couple of the season. But with all the turmoil that's going on right now with your Eriksons and your Vertonghens, and yet he always seems to find an answer. This man belongs at a club that's able to challenge for titles if he's given the proper backing.
Too good for United, then.
Now, did you not hear him, Bob? He said challenge for titles. That rules United out
already.
I was
expecting a response from Kashika then.
Sheffield United, one defeat in 2019, 1-6, drawn 9, only lost 1. That's similar to Liverpool.
They've just lost one away game in 2019.
That's amazing.
That's Sheffield United. I'm going to put my hands up. I was like Ross at the start of the season. On this show, I said, you know what? I've got relatives in Sheffield, and they didn't like it when they heard the show, and I said, they're going to go down.
Do you know, this Sheffield side, their success this season is built on the defence. 8 goals conceded only in 11 matches. 3 centre-backs. They overlap each other.
Yeah. It reminds me of what Burnley did when they first came up. They were very smart. They understood what their limitations were. They understood the game. And it goes to their manager, who can get the best out of the players.
thing will happen is once January kicks in, or rather December, January, when everything, all the cramping of the games, you know, competition kicks in, and that's when you will figure out whether they will actually survive. Yeah, fair enough. They're in the top half of the table. They've done well. But defensively, I think that's where their strength has lies in.
All right.
In terms of reading the opposition very well.
Spurs then 11th against Sheffield United, 6th Saturday, 11 o'clock kickoff. Leicester City versus Arsenal. Now that is the weekend's tasty tie, apart from the obvious one. It's 3rd versus 5th. It's your late game on Saturday. Jamie Vardy is going to enjoy playing against this Arsenal defence.
Could I refer to the man across, the president of the David Luiz fan club, Mr. Bobs?
We should mention Arsenal drew their Europa League game in midweek, last minute equaliser against Vitória Guimarães.
Yeah. Is it me or has Unai lost the dressing room? I know it's really early on.
Well,
but
this week the news was also Granit Xhaka stripped of his captaincy. It looks like he's on his way out of the club come January.
This man got rid of all the leaders in that team, and he thought he could control the dressing room, and that has backfired. He got rid of your Monreals, anybody who had any authority whatsoever, and that goes back to the basics of, you know, being a manager. You either get rid of the old guard and start anew, or you work with them, and it's completely backfired. Ozil, that decision has not gone down.
No. Left out again on Wednesday.
Oh my God, why?
It's almost like the small man syndrome, isn't it? Mm. You know, I don't mean physically, but when he was at PSG, he couldn't handle the big names. Mm. I mean, he did it at Seville. He became known as Mr. Europa League, didn't he? Mm. He won it so many times.
I mean, he took Arsenal to the finals.
Yeah, but they didn't win it. And here, he's got two ball-playing midfielders in
who can walk into any team.
Yeah, and Ozil, of course, and he never plays them.
No. Mm.
So what's the sense in that?
Well,
so besides losing the dressing room, I think he's losing the boardroom.
He's also
I doubt if he'll survive the season.
Well, he's lost a lot of Arsenal fans. Have you watched Arsenal fan TV recently?
He's lost his troops.
But I can't tell you exactly where I've gotten my information from, but at times there are certain players who will leak information to certain media outlets and let the world know what's going on. Mm. And lo and behold, all of a sudden, you've seen the fans have backed their manager turn just like that without any provocation. Arsenal are not playing all that badly. Yes, they have one or two hiccups. But if you remember the amount of joy, and everybody was talking about Unai Emery when he came in for the job interviews, like, oh, I want to build a team around Aubameyang. I want to build a team around this player. I want to build a team around that player. And the fans were like, oh my God, this man knows what he's doing. Something has happened and someone has leaked some information for the entire squad to turn on him and a majority section of the fans. I know this has nothing to do with tactics, but this is what the world of football we now live in, especially in the Premier League. Player power is the most important thing in the league right now.
Mm. Do you remember in 2016, Arsenal tried to sign Jamie Vardy? And he turned them down, didn't he?
Yeah.
How clever was Jamie Vardy?
Yeah, right. I think the most interesting thing about Arsenal right now is the guy who purportedly wants to become their next manager. A certain Jose Mourinho.
He's smart.
Now, how do you think that'll go down with the Arsenal fans?
Jose's going to have to change his ways because it can't be the same Jose going in because everybody knows the system now. So he's going to have a few tricks up his sleeve if that's
to happen. But there was once this interview recently that he said that after stepping away from United, he's realised his wrongdoings and now he's following a new philosophy. So
the guy is a master at manipulation.
Yeah. I mean, that's why you want him at Arsenal as a United fan.
You talk about interviews when he was on TV and how he explained how he would use the three up front and put Pepe in between Lacazette and Aubameyang. That is what everyone's looking at. But everybody forgets that the biggest problem for Arsenal right now is not the lack of creative players in the squad. It's at the back.
Well, he sort that out, won't he? I mean, that's his strength.
David Luiz will be the first one to go.
I mean, he's not popular with the Arsenal fans, but when you look back, his criticism of Arsenal was always about Arsene Wenger rather than the club. Mm. It was. I mean, remember specialist in failure and all that stuff? Yeah. It got quite personal, quite nasty. It wasn't really against the club itself. So I think after this this dire season with Emery, I think Arsenal fans would probably welcome him.
All right. Well, Brendan Rodgers' Leicester City are going for 5 Premier League wins in a row. They currently have 4. Last time they did it was under Craig Shakespeare in 2017. It is Sunday, 1:30 a.m. that one. Leicester in 3rd against Arsenal in 5th. Man United, who are 10th, take on 8th place Brighton. United had a 3-0 win in the Europa League on Thursday night.
Anthony Martial.
The front three scored, which is very pleasing for Man United fans. Mason Greenwood, Marcus Rashford and Anthony Martial.
But what he's the biggest difference. He's the biggest difference, if you can agree or disagree with me, Bob.
Absolutely. I said right at the beginning for Solskjaer, sticking up for Solskjaer in our previous argument, if you remember, one of the main reasons was because he didn't have Martial at his disposal.
Fair point.
He was injured in the very first game of the season.
So now he's back. He looks to be firing. Brighton, big question here for Graham Potter. I mean, they've been going great, Brighton. They've been playing 4-4-2. They've been winning games. Do you go to Old Trafford and try and attack this United side? Because they really are there for the taking, aren't they?
Yeah, well, he doesn't do that, does he, Potter? I mean, he's more of a defensive...
He reverts to one up front, 5 across the middle.
You can't see that. You can't see that happening. No, I think this is a good opportunity for United, actually, to build on that midweek win. Okay, we all had a bit of a laugh at their expense last week when the revival ended rather prematurely. But actually, that's only one game. And if they win this and they won in midweek... I mean, they're on actually a bit of a run, aren't they? Even with that one defeat.
But it has always been the injury problems that caused United's lack of form previously. They were building up to it, then we had massive injury list, and then we went down. Now, slowly, the players are coming back, and you can see them picking up again.
Scott McTominay being, available.
He's got a foot injury, so question mark
is
over.
A blessing in disguise.
I don't know. He works very hard.
Oh, my God. Don't get me started again. An entire swallow doesn't make a summer, correct? That's the statement. Scott McTominay is benefiting on social media. Someone puts up these little highlight packages of 1 minute of what he does best, but no one highlights at what he cannot do. He cannot run that midfield. Yes, he does work hard. He does score the goals, but every time he's got a good game, United do not win or do not have a comprehensive package in midfield. Everyone goes after Fred. Fred has absolutely nothing beside him when Scott McTominay plays.
And
anybody beside him, apart from Scott McTominay, did he or did he not have a good game in Europa? Europa League.
Fred's been taking a lot of flack, a lot of it from Man United fans. I think it's because he cost £52 million. But he has been playing quite decently
without
games.
Scott McTominay beside him?
Preferably without.
Exactly.
Yeah. But the news is Pogba is not expected back until
next year?
December.
Not 2021?
Apparently he's got a cast on his ankle.
Oh, so the cast comes off when he joins Real Madrid next year?
Probably.
He's
spoken to Zidane. it's a Sunday 10 o'clock kickoff, that one. Man United 10th against Brighton 8th. We're going for our final break. When we come back, it is the big one. Liverpool versus Man City next.
Fine save by the goalkeeper, spreading himself.
On the ball on BFM 89.9.
He cannot win a title without an outstanding goalkeeper, and he's been absolutely brilliant.
On the ball on BFM 89.9.
The top two go head-to-head on Sunday night, early Monday morning. It's Liverpool first against Man City second. Now, Liverpool's 2-1 win over Genk in midweek makes it now they have won all the games, or most of the games, by just the one goal. They haven't beaten a side by more than one goal since the 14th of September. Not that it matters, because it's still 3 points and they're rolling along very, very nicely.
And more importantly, they've been playing very well.
Yep.
And more importantly, compared to last season, they're getting it done. I don't want to jinx them, but we mentioned this, I've said it over and over again. City didn't win the title last season. Liverpool let them win it.
I thought both of them just went head-to-head. It boils down to one slip-up. But, okay, this particular tie, Guardiola came out. We heard him at the start. He tried to retract on what he said about Mane going down rather easily. Does he, Mane, go down easily? Come on, Bob.
There have been times. I don't have to retract anything.
Come on.
I think there have been times, yes. But that was a bit of a long-winded retraction by Pep, wasn't it?
It was. He brought his kids into it as well.
I mean, for him to say that in the first place, you shouldn't do that because he's left himself wide open, hasn't he? That was a tactical error by Pep, that.
Now, this game, going into it, Liverpool are raging favourites. City have got problems. If Ederson doesn't make it, it's going to be Bravo.
No, I don't think Claudio Bravo will play.
Bravo gets another red card, it's Kyle Walker.
If he does play Claudio Bravo, that is nothing but arrogance and ignorance from Pep Guardiola's.
Apart from the goalkeeping problem, City's main problem this season has been central defence. Mm. I know John Stones is coming back from injury. He's been playing a few games. But do you think John Stones can hold out against Liverpool's front three?
No. I mean, I agree partly with what Roshan is saying there about Pep's arrogance. Sticking by Claudio Bravo.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a clown right from the beginning.
It was.
And then he managed to sign Ederson, who I think is actually the best keeper. I think he's better than Alisson, to be quite honest. And he's been magnificent. And Bravo got injured last season, so we didn't really notice him. He wasn't a factor. Now he's fit and come back again. We were reminded what a clown he is. And he's an absolute liability at this level. Mm. And if he lines up on Sunday night at Anfield, then I really fear the worst for City.
I'm not picking on him, but when you watched him come onto the pitch, for those few minutes that he was on, you could see the players in front of him
were so hesitant.
Mm-hmm. They were like, oh my God, do I pass the ball to him? If he's going to pass the ball, I need to open up a bit and see if anyone's running towards me.
If you add a rather
shaky centre-back,
shaky John Stones in front of him, Liverpool are going to love this, right? The last time City won at Anfield, Schmeichel, Joey Barton and Robbie Fowler played for them.
Mm. Yeah, Schmeichel, eh? Yeah.
Schmeichel. Yeah. 2003, May 2003, yeah. Nicholas Anelka scored both goals.
We tend to forget that, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, if Liverpool wins this, title's theirs, right?
Not yet. Not for me.
No, I don't think so. I mean, Liverpool have got this massive workload coming up.
Qatar?
Yeah. I mean, having to play these
two games in 2 days.
Yeah. And all that.
On two different continents.
Yeah, and they've been fairly fortunate with injuries, certainly compared to City. It'll only take one key player, say Van Dijk, for example, to be out for a long time. And I think things would change. And 9 points is not an insurmountable lead at this stage of the season. We're only a quarter of the way through. There's a lot of football still to be played.
But pressure on this game, City really will approach it with a "we have to win" attitude.
I don't think they do have to win. I mean, if it's a draw, who does that favour more?
City.
Liverpool. No.
For me, City. If it's just 4 points, then.
No, it's not.
But for me, it's still City because they're in it. If it goes any further than that, I mean, you mentioned 9 points. If it goes to 9 points, I think for me it'll be done and dusted. But they cannot lose this whatsoever. If it's a draw, it'll still be in favour of City because they will come back. They will definitely, I can give you my word, get a centre-back or central defender in January. There is no doubt about that. Pep Guardiola is not that silly. He will already have identified somebody to be brought in January, without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah, but in January, is that still enough time to salvage what's left? Because you don't know how the season's going to go in December itself with all those back-to-back fixtures.
Yeah, and who can you get in January who's not cup-tied?
Matt
Champions
Hummels.
League. Yeah, exactly. He is cup-tied.
Yeah, and I'm just joking.
You know, it's not as easy. That's why they very rarely sign a major player in January.
Yeah.
That's quite a rare occurrence. So he may have his eye on somebody, but it would be a real stopgap operation.
I remember Vidic and Evra coming in January.
Yeah.
At one point in time, many years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And you saw what a difference they made to a United
absolutely,
squad.
Absolutely.
So there are enough and more players. I think the only difference is a lot of us just watch the Premier League per se, but in Europe, there are some massive players out there.
And I wouldn't be surprised if they've actually done it in such a way that they would have some players lined up for them.
All right. Sergio Aguero has never scored at Anfield in 8 appearances for City. 2 appearances for Atletico Madrid at Liverpool also didn't score. So that's your weekend's football. Who's in, who's out? Let's find out.
Who's in, who's out? Stay on the ball with the treatment table.
Norwich midfielder Mario Vrančić is available for the first time since August for the visit of Watford in the Friday night game. Ibrahim Amadou and Todd Cantwell are now fully fit and could start. Watford captain Troy Deeney, who has been out since mid-August following a knee operation, is in contention, whilst Etienne Capoue and Ismaila Sarr have also returned to training, and Craig Cathcart has overcome a back spasm. In Saturday's early kickoff, fit again Chelsea midfielder N'Golo Kante was an unused substitute in midweek and could make his first appearance in a month against Crystal Palace. Ross Barkley might return from an ankle problem, but Mason Mount is a doubt with a similar injury, and Jorginho serves a ban for accumulating 5 bookings. Crystal Palace are set to welcome back Andros Townsend, who picked up a muscular injury in the draw at Arsenal. Gary Cahill and Chiku Kouyaté are also in contention following head injuries. Dani Ceballos is a doubt for Arsenal's trip to Leicester after picking up a hamstring injury in the draw at Vitoria. Mesut Ozil is an option after being rested on Wednesday, while Leicester City have no injuries to report. Southampton will be without fullback Cedric Suarez, while Ryan Bertrand is still suspended after being sent off against Leicester. Everton are having a bit of a midfield crisis, with Jean-Philippe Gerbermin, Bernat and Andres Gomez all out of this clash. Fabian Delph is also a doubt, meaning Tom Davies and Morgan Schneiderlin could be the Toffees' only midfield options. Ederson has added to Manchester City's injury concerns ahead of Sunday's crunch title clash with Liverpool on Sunday. The Brazil goalkeeper strained his thigh against Atalanta on Wednesday, forcing him to be substituted at halftime. Rodri is also missing following a hamstring injury, which is expected to keep him out until after the international break. And David Silva is recovering from a muscle issue that ruled him out in midweek. For Liverpool, Joel Matip and Jadon Shaqiri are sidelined until after the November international break, while Nathaniel Clark remains a long-term absentee. And that wraps up this edition of The Treatment Table. Enjoy the football.
Producer Tasha there. Don't forget to sort out your fantasy football teams. Time for a prediction or two from the guys.
Time for the big weekend shout.
We're starting with you, Roshan.
Jamie Vardy hat-trick.
Ooh, tasty.
Jamie Vardy hat-trick.
Would that put Unai in problems?
Yes.
It would, wouldn't it?
It won't get him fired, but it'll be the first nail in the coffin.
Okay. At Leicester City to beat Arsenal. Big shout. What's yours, Kashika?
Sheffield United to win against Spurs.
Everybody's tipped to go down at the start of the season. Sheffield United to beat Spurs and Pochettino. Ooh, yeah, all right. Okay, okay. Bob, what's your big shout?
Well, it's not that big, actually. Oh. But it's the big game. It's the big game. Liverpool. By 2 goals.
I thought you were going to go for Norwich versus Watford.
That is the big game, isn't it? All right, well, that's your big shout.
Tune in next week for more big weekend shouts.
And it takes us nicely to 9 p.m. It's when we scoot out of here. I say thank you, Roshan Narayan.
Good evening and good night.
Good evening to you. Thank you, Kashika.
Thank you, everyone.
And thanks, Bob Holmes.
Thanks, everybody.
Yep, have a great weekend, everybody. See you Monday.
Some people are on the pitch. They think it's all over. It is done.
Follow BFM Football on Facebook. Catch On The Ball next Friday on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.